You're listening to Pod 4 Ham, a podcast that's all about the musical Hamilton, taking it one track at a time. Every episode features different groups of interesting people talking about a single track from the original Broadway cast recording of Hamilton. Visit us online at pod4ham, that's the numeral 4, .com. Follow us on Twitter at pod4ham, or you can visit The Incomparable at theincomparable.com.
Monsieur Hamilton.
Monsieur Lafayette.
In command where you belong.
Are you saying no sweat? We're finally on the field. We've had quite a run.
Immigrants, we get the job done.
Welcome back to Pod for Ham, where we are still talking about the original cast album of Hamilton, an American musical, one track at a time. Today we are talking about Yorktown, in which the world turns upside down.
Spoiler alert.
I am Monty Ashley.
I'm Elsa S. Henry.
I'm Paul Smith.
And I'm Brian Hamilton.
This seems like a very important song to me. It might be the only song in the musical that I've seen paintings of.
That's true.
It's a very important historical moment that they gave a very, very good song to.
We care more about this moment in the United States than they do in other countries. I was surprised to learn that General Cornwallis, who is the one who surrenders in this song, this didn't end his career. I always thought that giving up the United States was a huge deal, but it's... to the British, it's just a footnote in an otherwise distinguished career.
Yeah.
It's a tiny, tiny little colonial uprising.
Yeah, they look at it a little bit differently on the other side of the pond, too. Because they'd spent so much money, and at this point, it was just kind of a financial burden to keep the war going.
I do want to say about this song that this song is the one song in the musical, along with, I think, Nonstop and My Shot, that really gets me pumped, gets me going. This is one of the few songs I can listen to outside of the context of the musical and just ride that beat and be like, bump, up, a bump, up, up. Everything keeps going, and it propels the song so well. There's this really intense beat that really kicks the song off and gets the song going, and it makes sense because this is a massive battle, so I think they did a really great job of capturing that with the instrumentation in this song.
I will totally admit to using my elliptical while listening to this.
Yeah, this number is possibly the biggest pump my fist in the air moment in the entire musical for me. It's certainly in Act One. So
certainly.
This is the one that I always crank the volume all the way up for.
Yeah, I like musically how the backing track sometimes just sounds like scratching.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I like about this song, there are a couple points where, to my ear, Hamilton is not talking like Hamilton. I referenced one of them in my introduction. When he goes, the world turns upside down. That feels a lot more Dukes of Hazzard than Alexander usually gets.
That's
well,
fair.
His blood is up. You know, he's finally gotten what he always thought he wanted, which was command of a company of men. So
yeah, and the other part I like is suddenly he's talking like a hipster from the 50s saying, the code word is Rochambeau, dig me?
Of all the other musical things they could have thrown in, they chose like West Side Story.
Well, Lynn likes West Side Story. My theory is that the only reason he says dig me is so it doesn't sound so goofy two lines later when he rhymes Rochambeau with go man go. I feel like that's a rhyme Lin-Manuel Miranda really liked, and he's like, well, I gotta justify him talking like that somehow.
Yeah, it works.
Let's see, what else do we have in the song? Of course, we have a mention of Lawrence, who is no longer on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of Hercules Mulligan.
Oh, yeah. My God, Hercules Mulligan. His verse in this song, along with Lafayette's verse in Guns and Ships, are my two favorite rap moments in the musical.
Absolutely.
That's totally fair.
I don't know if anybody else here has actually seen the play. I have not.
Not yet.
No.
I don't know when this episode is going to air, but at the end of this month, as we're recording, my wife and I are going to New York to finally see it.
Nice.
Maybe I'll see you there if I win the lottery.
Well, good luck. I know several. I know several people that try constantly, but so good luck with that. But the sort of explosive reveal of Mulligan like bursting his way onto stage. And his growling delivery of those lines, that is so, I mean, it stirs the blood, man. I get chills every single time I listen to this track.
Absolutely.
His delivery is so different from your Hamiltons or Lafayettes or Jeffersons that are also smooth and thought out. Hercules, just coming at you with every syllable.
It's very visceral, the way that he delivers it.
He also gets to curse, which most of the time in the musical, when certain words come up, they're kind of elided off. So you get, fuck.
Right, right.
Not Hercules.
Or they dropped oh shit during.
They do, but of course, you would, in a different song, you do get Hamilton just saying, oh shit.
Exactly.
Which is a great delivery. Great delivery.
Well, I mean, the F-bomb really does feel so natural with the way that Mulligan is rapping. It's like bump, 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 bump. Like all of his verse is so, it lends itself to one big F-bomb at the end, and it's perfect.
Yeah.
I definitely want to just have my little historian moment with this song, which is that every time this song happens, I go, oh, poor Lafayette.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
This is the last time we see him.
Yeah.
But he'll see him on the other side until they meet again. And by the other side, of course, they mean the other side of the act break.
He's going to go back to France and bring freedom to his people. Oh, wait, no, he's going to spend most of that in jail.
Oh, baby. Things do not go well for you. It's
I feel
really
so lucky
sad.
When I'm on the when on the panel with you, Elsa, because we get the historian to come in and drop some knowledge.
I drop some knowledge. I make everybody feel really awful. It's great.
I will say there's something I don't like in this song, which is Lauren says, black and white soldiers wonder alike if this really means freedom. And then Washington, with great gravitas, says, not yet.
Oh, you don't like that?
I disagree. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I like it for the character of Washington, but it reminds me that the real Washington had slaves.
Yeah.
So which...
But I think it's good for us to get that memory, that reminder, because this is a show. I've seen a lot of criticism recently of Hamilton making white people feel good about the revolution in a way that maybe isn't true. And so I feel like that's a really important moment. I also feel like it's a good thing for people to see in this scene because the revolution wasn't even over yet. Oh. It could have started up again if negotiations for the end of the war hadn't gone well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the moment. I just don't feel like Washington is actually justified in saying that.
Well, depends on how you read it. Like, you could read it as him saying not yet because he's not quite ready to give up his slaves yet. That's not really the way it's presented, but you could sort of fan wank it that way, I guess.
Right, right. The way I see it is it's not freedom yet because they haven't negotiated the terms of surrender, which they do in the next verse.
All right, that's fair.
Right.
I'm back on board.
There we go.
I wanted to comment. You mentioned that we say goodbye to Lafayette here. One of my favorite things about this entire musical is the double casting that they do, and I love the fact that so Lafayette, sails out to sea to sort of save the day, and we don't see him again, but we do see obviously the actor who comes back on the other side. He comes back as Thomas Jefferson, and also particularly poignant to me is that Lawrence, we don't see him on stage again, but we see that actor come back as Philip. So those two actors, those two characters leaving the play, but the actors coming back as significant characters in the second act. I love the duality of that.
I really want to see Lin-Manuel Miranda trying to hold the actor that plays Lawrence in Dear Theodosia, trying to sing to him as a little baby. That'd be really cute. I don't think that's how they do it in the show.
It's definitely not, but that would be adorable.
Right now, the line, immigrants, we get the job done, is entertainingly relevant.
Yes.
And I don't think that's a coincidence.
I don't know if entertainingly relevant is how exactly I would put it.
It's relevant,
It's painfully relevant, yeah.
Yep.
I'm sure everyone here has read the Genius annotations multiple times, but I love the fact that that Lin-Manuel Miranda talks about how they've had to add beats into the score. They've had to add time, build time into the music to allow the audience reaction when that line is delivered.
Yes.
Like, it just keeps getting longer and longer.
That's delightful. And it probably will continue to get longer and longer as the election cycle goes on.
Oh, yeah. It's like when I saw the Grammy performance that they did, and Alexander Hamilton comes out and he sings Alexander Hamilton, and the crowd goes wild. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I saw a great example, a great mention of that, comparing that to Lin-Manuel's first performance of that at the White House, where when he says Alexander Hamilton,
Everybody and laughed.
Yeah, they're like, ha, 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 that's hilarious.
You know, he actually tweeted about that the other day. He posted the video and he said, you know, if you're going to write, they might laugh at you. Just keep writing.
Yeah. But getting back to this song.
Yes.
The hardest thing about this is keeping on one song, because all the songs are full of references to other songs. Like, there's I'm Not Throwing Away My Shot, and I Imagine Death So Much It Feels Like a Memory happening at the beginning of this song, mm-hmm. which I think makes it feel kind of like the act break, although it is not actually the act break.
It's actually an interesting choice to make this not the act break.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the way that they structure Nonstop and end with all of the motifs that could have possibly been crammed into the song, I feel like that works better as an act break in terms of the music, but this could have been a much more plot-oriented act break.
But in terms of the history and the plot, I think it would have made more sense to end sort of the upswing to America becoming a place.
Mm-hmm. But during this song, Alexander explicitly views the country and his new son as almost the same thing.
Yes.
So it does make some sense to say, so he did that big thing, and now we take the moment for the personal adventure of him seeing his son.
Certainly. I also want to kind of take a moment to mention the historical footnote with regard to taking the bullets out of their guns. Mm-hmm. That is an actual thing that they did, because they went under cover of darkness during the sort of initial assault and movements. They surrounded Yorktown in order to make sure that they could actually do what they wanted to do. And there were work parties that were doing a lot of the process of making sure that they could put them under siege.
And of course, this is a long time ago. These were flintlocks, I think?
Correct.
So you probably do want to take the bullet out of your gun. Otherwise, it will roll out if you point it the wrong direction.
There's another reference, I think, keeping your powder dry at some point. Yeah. I can't remember where, but it's all within the same mechanic system.
I just love how thematically it's a precursor to him throwing away his shot.
Yeah.
Like this is Hamilton. He's gotten what he has felt like he's wanted the entire time, which is, you know, to be on the battlefield, commanding men, leading a charge, that kind of thing. Except now he starts to realize that maybe he's got, you know, more to live for than just dying in battle. So this is him beginning to question, you know, maybe there is a time to throw away your shot. Maybe at least hold your shot.
Well, and you see that earlier as he starts with his, I imagine death so much it feels more like a memory. And then he realizes, no, but my son, I have to see my son.
Right.
And I did like that he referenced the legend of the British drummers and fifers playing The World Turned Upside Down, which was historically a popular British marching tune. But it's a legend. There's no way to actually have proof of that.
You know, when I first heard this song, I listened to that ending, and I thought, you know, knowing Lin-Manuel Miranda, he would actually take a real song from the Revolution and put it in his show here as what they were singing as they were walking away from Yorktown. And lo and behold, looking at the Genius annotations, yep, there is a fife and drum core version of it there that I listened to. I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
And there's a little of that rat-a-tat-tat fife and drum style drum.
At the march today, one of the fife and drum corps was playing it.
Really?
Nice.
Nice. I was just trying to not start giggling.
Can I talk a second about the music, like particularly the percussive, the battle music, like after Hercules Mulligan gives his powerful explosive speech and then it just cuts into the stage fight.
Yeah. Go, man, go.
I love that. Again, just as the whole song, that's a very rousing, you know, stirring the blood musical moment. But I particularly love the way that it, when the battle winds down, it sort of fades into the aftermath. You get the lone, is anybody else here a Firefly fan?
Oh,
yes.
You get the lone plaintive violin reminds me very much of like Greg Edmondson Firefly-esque sort of music that plays kind of the aftermath of that battle.
I have never made that connection before. That's incredible. I'm never going to be able to hear it the same way again. Great. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, or I'm sorry.
The other thing musically that I want to bring up, you know, none of us have seen the show, and I'm trying to avoid any, you know, videos of the performance so I can go in, because I know the soundtrack like the back of my hand, but I want the staging to be a big surprise to me. This is one of the songs that really makes me want to see the show because of that incredible interlude, which I can imagine is, you know, choreographed beautifully with fantastic fight choreography, all of that stuff. I don't know, that one little bridge there, the instrumental fight sequence, is what makes me want to see Hamilton the most.
Yeah. And also just the stage combat must be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And yet there's another part of this song that's the thing I've seen the most often. My girlfriend hasn't listened to Hamilton yet because I won't shut up about it, and it's kind of turning her off. But we were caught in traffic today. I was like, I got to listen to this song again. I'm going to listen to it again, you know, just so I'm ready one more time. And eventually I said, this part, this is that gif you've seen of that guy jumping off the table.
Really?
It's a very popular gif.
Is that Lafayette?
Hercules Mulligan!
Oh, that, yeah.
Yep.
One other thing musically, what is that dissonant chord in the middle of Mulligan's verse that I've never been able to place? Like, what in the world is that? Do any of you know what I'm talking about?
Are you asking us? We don't know.
I know what you're referring to, but I couldn't tell you what the instrument is.
I don't know what the point of it is, or not even what the instrument, but like why it's there, what it's supposed to signify. I don't understand it.
I think Hercules is just supposed to be a little more dissonant than everyone else, is my guess. Like, his rhythm isn't on point, his rhymes don't quite match up, and it all works for him, but maybe they felt, and I'm just spitballing here, maybe they felt like the music should also be just a little bit off. So it feels like the show is punching you in the face, like Hercules would punch people in the face.
Yeah.
I buy that.
And, you know, I do want to mention, going back to our conversation about the black and white soldiers, there were black soldiers at Yorktown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just for those people who don't know, because I've heard a lot of people ask things like, well, were there black soldiers during the Revolutionary War? And yes, there were.
When I said that this is a song I've seen paintings of, in the paintings, it's all white guys.
Of course.
Unfortunately.
Right.
Well, Lawrence was there too, but for the play, they had to, structurally, Miranda had to get him down to the South, down to South Carolina before this battle took place. But yeah, historically, Lawrence was actually the one that negotiated the peace or the surrender. He was the one that negotiated surrender.
And then we get that nice little point from Rochambeau to Washington. Yep. And now that guy, that's the guy you're surrendering to. I'm French. He's the American.
All right. I feel like we're just about done. Does anybody have any last things they'd like to throw in?
Nothing, no.
All right. Good job, everybody. We won.
We won.
We won.
The world turned upside down.
Thank you for listening to Pod for Ham. You are wondering what song comes next. The answer, what comes next? And you can just repeat that as much as you like and have your own little Abbott and Costello routine until next week. It'll be fun. Okay, bye.